Well, greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live tonight on WWCR around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, live right out of Nashville, Tennessee. Well, today is the 18th of the month of November of 2007, so we're moving right along. Tonight's message, you don't want to miss it. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is live on the hour. We've got a great title for you as we're going into the book of Revelation, chapter 16, and we're going to begin to read at the 13th verse. And the verse reads as this: "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophets." Ladies and gentlemen, this unholy trinity here is the trouble of the last days. And we're right in the beginning of the emergence of this great prophetic utterance that we're going to take our text from tonight and give you a gestalt of understanding about the divine presence of Yahweh's word to be instant in season and out. Religious and cultural diversity, it should be valued and celebrated in the full knowledge that each faith tradition is unique and invaluable. However, ladies and gentlemen, we got a problem here. There's just one faith. One Yahweh, one faith, and one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. But, ladies and gentlemen, enter three world religions. We're going to display them for you. And strange as it may sound to you tonight, these three major religions could possibly be, now just possibly, they could be the three unclean spirits that come out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet and the dragon. So three dispensations or three religions that goes from bad to worse when misinterpreted. You know, the Bible says that we should rightly divide the scriptures. We shouldn't add to the text, and we shouldn't take from. But you see, man and his wicked intent, or through his carnal mind, he's always trying to outdo the spiritual aspects. And of course, most people, being carnal minded, the devil has the advantage when he brings the religion traditions that is capable of bringing widespread destruction upon the earth. Now, these three religions, I'd like to discuss them tonight in the text in this way. Let's start with Judaism. We go with Judaism, and then we move to Christianity, and then in the 7th century, about 725, somewhere along there, A.D., we have the emergence of Muhammad the Prophet that brought in the third religion, Islam, from the same God. If you look at the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this same God is supposed to be the father of all of these religions. And yet these religions are warring each other and could possibly, and we think probably, more than possibly, bring in the nuclear explosions of the Third World War. The apocalypse, ladies and gentlemen, is nothing more than a nuclear war between these three major religions. And the Bible looks at them, and truthfully so, in this sense that they were unclean religions. Religious scriptures used in a carnal way. They give carnal interpretations. Now, if you bear in mind that the historical context and the relevance of the present needs to the three religions, each one claims the God of Abraham as their father. And here we go. Now, let's look at the tradition of Judaism. Did you know that Judaism has for their Bible, along with the Old Testament, the Christians address the New Testament, and the Muslims address to the Quran. And so then we have three different aspects of thought by serving the same God. The Muslims and Islam, they hold sacred the God Allah, mean one God, that means one God in Arabic. Well, Mark 12:29 says, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one God." Deuteronomy 6:4 in the Mosaical text, to which the Jews lean toward the Old Testament, the Torah, the first five books of the Bible mainly, but in general, the Old Testament, what the Christians would call the Old Testament, the Christians to the New Testament, and the Muslims to the Quran. Each one claiming Abraham as the father of their existence. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what goes on here? Well, we need to take a good, strong, healthy look at these three spirits that have actually became unclean. Now, there's nothing unclean about our Heavenly Father. There was nothing unclean about Abraham. Did you know that in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, we find that Almighty Yahweh visits Abraham and gives him a covenant promise. Now, this covenant promise was fulfilled when these two sons, Ishmael and then Isaac, came on the scene. Now, the dispute is between the Jews and the Muslims. The Muslims claims Ishmael as the covenant son, and the Jews claim Isaac. Well, the Christians claim Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so then we've got three approaches, and each one of these religions, in one way or the other, are opposed in thought. And therefore, they become unclean, or they're unclean toward each other, or they are strifing toward each other. The strife between Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the offspring with the seed of Ishmael is legendary. We read in the Bible that Jacob was loved by Yahweh, and Esau was hated. Well, we know that Esau married into a clan of people that wasn't approved by Yahweh according to the Scriptures. Now, how do we sort through all of these things that are coming up here today in the name of religion? War. Is war justified in religious sense? Terrorism. Genocide. Torture, rape, judicial injustice, detention without trial. Does Scripture verify or justify violence, oppression, exploitation, military aggression, or claims of superiority? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we got going on here. Under the guise of a religion that provokes antagonism and resentment, and it should be rightly divided or strongly discouraged, because our Heavenly Father is not the author of confusion, which, if we look at the Scriptures and all of the misunderstandings that they who serve God, who were created to sustain the universe, the one God of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, and Mohammed, And behind that lies the disharmony or the lack of unity between those thoughts, because each one of those religions draws from it concepts that have brought a separation, that have brought war, and that have brought a real and present danger into the Jewish, Christian, and Muslim religions, because the people that are warring right now, we're in Iraq, and Iraq is strongly a Islamic state. We are fixing to go into Iran and expand. Now, we're talking about Christianity here, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that a recent poll on the invasion, the question of the invasion of Iran, was that if Iran gets nuclear weapons, then over 50% of the people voted in favor of an all-out war against Iran. Well, ladies and gentlemen, all we have to do then to get approval of the majority of the people in the United States in particular, and it looks like to me that unless Mr. Bush is able to unify the war machine that his father, George Sr., in the invasion of Iraq, unless he can get a coalition of other nations. And ladies and gentlemen, the odd man out here is going to be the United States, which is a strong Christian nation, against the Islamic nation of Iran, and the Jews who find themselves caught somewhere in the middle. Or are they? Are they the ones really behind the trouble in the Middle East? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's a sure-gone conclusion that if Israel's enemies, Iran, which is sworn for the destruction of Israel, publicly stated that they would destroy Israel if they had the opportunity, if they had the means, and that if a war ensues, that they will be an all-out war toward Israel, because they hold the city of Jerusalem as one of the sacred places for Islam. Now, of course, Christianity holds that Jerusalem is a sacred place. Of course, Judaism holds that Jerusalem is a holy place. So this place, among the practice of each faith, has been notably self-centered and claiming for itself a superior position and a unique authority. Humility among these three nations or different philosophies or religions has been noticeably lacking, and in its place, arrogance is the trump card. In other words, we have the power. Right now, Israel is the strongest military nation in the Middle East. It has for its ally the United States of America, strongly because most evangelical Christians, under the urging of the prophets and preachers, are saying that we must defend Israel. Now, Israel was called, that nation that is called Israel, is in a geographical place where that our Christian Messiah, Yahweh Shua, died in a flesh body. So then, we have a lot of violence and strife even today around Jerusalem. Now, the Bible says that when you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, know that the time is now. Now, we believed that in the 56 war that happened, and we also believed that in the 73 war that happened, and ladies and gentlemen, it's been going on for quite some time that these things are coming to pass, and each time we shudder at the thought that this could actually be the time of trouble such as the world has ever seen. The world is in turmoil. President Bush challenged and publicly declared a Christian crusade against these nations that are sworn to destroy Israel. Now, the rhetoric and the talk and the hostile intentions of these nations, Iran has publicly declared its intention for a world jihad, for the creation of a world Islamic state. The Jewish prime minister has declared that they're preparing plans to nuke Iran. The United Nations sees all of this. They see that Judaism, Christianity, and Islam are engaged in a class of civilizations leading us to the brink of all-out nuclear war 3. Nuclear world war, ladies and gentlemen, called the third and perhaps the final war to end all wars. Now, is it prophetic that a time of trouble such as the world has never seen will come upon the world in the last days? Do we have the engaging tumblers on the locking system that will make sure that we are headed for a time of trouble? All of the indications are that we're headed deep into a third world war. Now, there's a number of issues that we got to deal with. Number one, is the United States that desperate for oil? Did you know that our world leaders have addressed the situation that we were in Iraq simply for the oil? Well, ladies and gentlemen, since we've got all the armies there, we've got the ships and the flotillas that are in the Red Sea, and in surrounding the seas, we have a large flotilla, and the Bible says the ships of Tarshish will come. Well, it just so happens, ladies and gentlemen, those ships are there right now in the last days as the Jews follow the Old Testament, the Christians follow the New Testament, and the Muslims follow the Quran. All of them believe it's the will of God or the will of Allah to proceed in this direction. And is evil men who have no respect for religion whatsoever, is there an evil faction that is going to use this great argument or religious strife between the three major world religions? Now remember that the Asiatic card is to be played later on. And in that sense, we have the fourth major religion, which is Buddhism, coming into play. And so the world religions, you see, people have been grouped off and segregated to believe that their God is the God of justice, of war, that we should kill and mangle and destroy for territory. Well, the Bible says that in the last days that these armies will come for a spoil. And I've done declared that when you strike off the first two letters, you get oil. And that's the reason that we have the time of trouble. And ladies and gentlemen, you don't know how close it is. Now, the three reasons that there will be no peace on earth, because the Pope recently came out with three reasons, and did you notice that religion was not included? He didn't mention religion as one of the reasons, but it is, to tell you the truth. The Old Testament is followed by Judaism. Christianity is followed through the New Testament teachings. and the Quran, the Islamic people, the religion that they worship is, they say, the God of Allah. And so they follow this religion. So these three religions, whether they're right or wrong, is not the issue. The issue is this. Are these three religions mentioned in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, are they going to become evil or evilly controlled by sadistic murderers? The Old Testament is packed with passages where the God of Mount Sinai commands his people to go in and slaughter every single group outside. This was for the advantage of taking the territory that was promised for them. Is God justifiably declaring war in each of these religions to bring them finally in absolute clashes of the last days? We know that the Old Testament makes sure that God used the power of the sword. And the Bible says that the sword will be in the house of Ishmael forever. And in this sense, ladies and gentlemen, we have the covenants clashing. Because if Ishmael is the covenant son of Abraham, if he is to inherit, if he has a reason for being, and I declare unto you emphatically that Ishmael has a reason for being, whether it's for the last day scenario, I don't know, but I do know that we've had war with the Islamic factions throughout the Middle East. The Crusades were involved against Islam, the Arab forces against the Christian forces. And now, since we have a now risen judicial system in the Sanhedrin system that was installed in 1948, that the Jewish nation became a nation, then we have what is called the three major religions, and each religion claiming its own authority to conquer the Holy Land and to rule with a rod of iron. Well, whether it's biblical or not is a question. Did you know that Yahweh is getting ready to do something unique in this earth? Did you know that Yahweh is tired and weary of the religious hypocrisy that is going on in religion? That Yahweh will prove in the last days where we stand as the wrath of Almighty Yahweh is revealed from heaven. But first, ladies and gentlemen, the scenario goes like this. A war to end all wars. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a very strong need for an intervention. Enter Satan and his angels. I done prophesied this to you. And Satan is going to come in as the redeeming Savior and bring in peace. He's coming to bring peace, ladies and gentlemen. But this peace is not going to be a truce of peace. It is going to be a deceptive peace, because the Bible says that when they say peace and safety, then cometh a sudden destruction. Notice this now. Near is the day of Yahweh, near and coming quickly. Listen, it's the day of Yahweh. In it, the warrior will cry out bitterly. It'll be a day of wrath. It is that day, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction, desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darknesses, a day of trumpet and a battle cry. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that ain't the way that Satan is coming. He's coming in with a covenant of peace. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, well, that's after the tribulation, and the church is already going to be gone during that day when Satan comes. Ladies and gentlemen, Satan's coming to bring peace. And yet the Christians that are going to be raptured out in some mysterious rapture that's not in the Bible, so they have bought into the ideal that Christ is going to come, rapture out his church in a secret rapture, take them into the heavens, and then Satan is going to come and wreak havoc upon the earth. And that ain't what the Bible says. It says that Yahweh's going to come with fire. And Yahweh's going to come in a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darknesses. Neither shall their gold or their silver be able to deliver them on the day of Yahweh's wrath. And all the earth will be devoured in the fire of his jealousy. Well, Paul, did not Peter and Paul both prophesy that he's coming back in flaming fire and taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel? Well, ladies and gentlemen, did you know that most Christians would agree that we need to go and protect Israel? Now, Israel is that little geographical spot that they named Israel. Not that that is God's people there. It is recorded in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. In Revelation 3 and verse 9, it is recorded there, ladies and gentlemen, that Satan would become a deceiving liar. And that he would convince people that the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, he's done a good job. Christianity has bought into this. This is where the unclean spirit has entered into Christianity. And it's convinced most of the Western world that the Jews are God's chosen people. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. If you look at history and recorded history and documented history, and study to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rather divide in the word of truth, we're going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that in 721 B.C., the people called Israel, the 10 northern tribes, were removed through a war. Yahweh, through the failure of Israel to take heed. Now, in the overall plan of our Almighty, it was necessary for Yahweh to keep his covenant to Abraham, was to come in and spread the seed of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham. The covenant went to Isaac, and to Isaac went the covenant to Jacob. And the seed of Jacob in 721 B.C., was removed from the land, and according to 1 Samuel chapter 10, ladies and gentlemen, it says in verse 7 that they were never to return. Never to return. Never to return. And yet we've got the bell box preachers preaching out of an unclean spiritual position that when you see the Jews going back to the homeland, you know that the time is now. Of course, that's not scripture, ladies and gentlemen. That's in the 23rd chapter of this spirit of uncleanliness. Oh, it has a will worship. It has indeed a show in the flesh. But I beseech you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Messiah and our gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken or disturbed either by a spirit or a message, or a letter, as it was from us, to the effect that the day of Yahweh has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. See that? Right there it is. In other words, a truth turned into a lie to worship the creature the same right way. And so one of these religions has become evilly attuned through deception and the mouth of the lying prophets that are leading our people down the primrose path of utter destruction. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for those that claim to be Jews and are not, the Bible says that they themselves will be dealt with. Because the Bible says, after that Satan does his deceptive teachings, and he convinces all of the world, if you'll continue reading in the book of Revelation chapter 16, you'll find that he caused all of the earth to wonder after the beast, and after the false prophet, and after the dragon. Now we find the dragon in the 12th chapter. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very interesting to find the dragon positioned in chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 1, at the foot of the woman that was to bring forth the man-child. Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now, there's the truth, ladies and gentlemen, of the oneness message, and Christianity is not willing to acknowledge it. Therefore, they've gone in the way of the false prophet. The false prophet has come in as God's chosen, according to 1 or 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where that they have transformed themselves into messengers of light, anointed with a special calling. Satan has gifted them in the language. Satan has gifted them in the deception, as they are deceived by Satan. And the Bible says they themselves are deceived and would deceive, if possible, the very elect, if it was possible. Now notice this. It's absolutely impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to be deceived if you will continue in the Word. Be not deceived. When does the day of Yahweh begin, and are there any signs? In the book of Joel, in chapter 2, verse 31, it states that the sun will be turned into darkness. Now, if I look at that in a spiritual way, the sun is the gospel preached by the Son, for unto us a son is born, as I've give you. But the Bible said that that brightness, or the truth of that, will be turned into darkness, and the moon will be turned into blood. That is the time frames. The sun is a light in the heavens, and the moon is his organized times. But ladies and gentlemen, they have cast out the times of Yahweh and brought in a fake Sabbath, brought in a fake God. They have actually changed the single God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the single God of Judaism, the single God of Christianity, and the single God of Islam. The Christian faith has turned it into a form and a fashion by making the Godhead a three-headed creature rather than the Creator. And in this sense, we have what is called the unholy Trinity of the book of Revelations. It is true that in chapter 6, the sixth sign of Revelations, chapter 6, verse 12, listen to me, and I looked, and when he broke the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, made of hair. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that the sun that becomes black, meaning that the gospel is hid? The Bible says if the gospel's hid, that is the metaphor that I'm bringing to you, that the revelation of the intensity of the brightness of the gospel has been dimmed by the smoke. Ladies and gentlemen, we all hear about smoke and mirrors, and Satan is good at it. He changed the truth of God into a lie and had himself placed upon the throne And ladies and gentlemen, do you know what the war is all about in the Middle East? It is the future war to place the false god upon a throne in Jerusalem. When you see Jerusalem compassed round about with armies, you're going to be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, in the end time who these armies are and how much power they've got and who controls it. And the three religions that's going to fight about it is coming up. World War III is coming. You must be ready. For when he broke the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by the great wind. Now, if you want to look at the interpretation of that, go to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations, and there you'll find that the great dragon mentioned in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, the dragon part of this great power that is hell-bent on destruction. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that the mission of Satan is absolute to kill. He has no respect for life, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy and to deceive the very elect. That's his mission. And the prophets that he has chosen, gifted, they're gifted to bring Sunday sermons in the local pulpits. The pulpits are filled with the prophets of Baal. The pulpits have now become bully pits for the cause of war in the Middle East, encouraging their flock to support our administration to wage war against the evil Arabs, as they call them, ladies and gentlemen. It's simple. Satan is wanting a Holocaust. And ladies and gentlemen, Satan's going to get one, because his mission is to bring much blood, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. So then, the abomination of desolation is coming when the sixth seal tells us that it's going to come. Satan, the great red dragon, ladies and gentlemen, he's going to stand at the foot of the woman, and he's going to seek to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, we have those powers done past. That prophecy has done past. Now the Bible says the earth will help the woman as she tries to protect her offspring. Did you know that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that there would be a war continuously, ladies and gentlemen, a war between the sons of Cain, the evil one, who has convinced the world that they are the true Jews, and the Bible says they are liars and are not. Did you know that when Christ came in the 8th chapter of the book of John, when these Pharisee Jews came up to him, that he said that they were children of Cain, and that Cain was of the wicked one, that Satan was his father, and the works of his father that they would do because he was a murderer? Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that in the last day they're going to say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us? That's when the wrath of Yahweh's coming. But Satan's is going to come in peacefully. He's going to bring about a healing coalition of nations. You know why? Because the nations will just have endured a great, horrible war. And he'll bring the healing balm to heal the nations, and he'll come in peacefully, and we'll have all of the world, listen to me well tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because I feel the great Shekinah, the anointing of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's coming to unite the world to actually fight against the coming of Yahweh. Let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that the time is coming now and is here already, that we're in the beginning of, the possibility of, the greatest war. It will be decisive, ladies and gentlemen. There will be smoke. There will be thunder. There will be lightning and nuclear. You haven't seen anything on a scale of what's coming. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, we only have nuclear power to deter all of the other powers. In other words, we have Russia as an armed nuclear nation. We have the United States. We have Israel as the strongest nuclear nation in the Middle East. Ladies and gentlemen, Israel is armed to the teeth. Now, are the Arabs, the question is, do they have any armaments? Well, it's been reported that since the breakup of the Soviet Union, that the Arabs were able to persuade a lot of the renegades there that had weapons of mass destruction that perhaps some of these suitcase bombs, they're very small, ladies and gentlemen. They can be almost hand-carried to a location and detonated that would be equal to the power of the atomic weapon dropped on Japan in World War II. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about great power. Notice this, there shall be a great tribulation, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. But immediately, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Well, that's going to be a happy day, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? That's not what the Bible said. It says, then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They're going to greet Satan with open arms. He's going to come in peacefully. Yahweh's coming with wrath. The Bible says, and if you believe the Bible, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through verse 31, I just got through reading, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. But ladies and gentlemen, right there, we leave out something. Before they gather together, the elect, they're going to bundle the tares. And how do you get rid of a weed out of a garden? You just can't clip him off at the top because he'll spread and come back every time. You must dig him up in the roots. Well, the Bible says that the sequence of events, that Satan must not be rooted up before his time. Revelation 6 and 12, it says that the moon will become like blood. The stars of the sky fell to the earth. Well, in the 12th chapter, that's what happened. Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven, the Bible said. Well, let's go to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. As we begin to wind down our message tonight, the three unclean spirits. You better listen to me well, for this prophetic utterance and the message that you've heard is unique. And it will only be heard through the prophets that have the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. And Mark 13, verses 24, in those days the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming. And he will send forth his angels, and he will gather together his elect from the four winds. After he gathers the tares and burns them. Oh my. Matthew chapter 24 or Matthew chapter 25 shows you that after that, then we're going to have a peace because Yahweh is coming to sit on his throne. Ladies and gentlemen, before Yahweh comes to sit on his throne, according to Matthew chapter 25 verse 31, read it and weep. If you're not ready to be prepared, unless you fear Yahweh, unless you keep his commandments, you're not going to have a hope. For when he comes, he's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and it's recorded in the 31st verse. The sheep go to the right, and the goats go to the left, and then the separation, ladies and gentlemen. And many will say in that day, haven't we done many wonderful works? Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? And he's going to say, depart from me. So it's not everything that says Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, clearly across the world in the Christian camps tonight, they're saying Lord. But ladies and gentlemen, of Daniel chapter 12, and from that time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation set up, the times are coming when we have these events unfolding right before our eyes. Why are we having this great day of God Almighty? Revelation 16 and 14 as a close. To gather them together for the great day of God Almighty. It's called the Day of Armageddon. It is the apocalypse, ladies and gentlemen, that will transpire after Satan comes in peacefully to restore order to the earth. And he's the only one that can do it, ladies and gentlemen. You see, when Yahweh comes, he's coming in flaming fire. The earth is going to mourn. They're going to hide. They're going to cast their silver and gold in the streets. But when Satan comes, they're going to receive him with open arms. Now, the three unclean spirits are going to battle for the power. Ladies and gentlemen, for the honor of placing. This is what they're battling about. Listen to me now. They're going to battle for the honor of placing Satan upon the throne. Let's go quickly to the book of 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2 as we read. Paul giving us the divine revelation that Satan is coming. Not the great one, but the lesser one. Ladies and gentlemen, they'll receive the lesser one as the greater one. Yahweh's coming at last in flaming fire. There'll be a war, for sure. When Satan comes, he's coming in peacefully to restore peace. Wouldn't it be advisable? And don't the Christians want to be raptured out? Satan just might give them a ride of their lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Shepherd's Calling. Pastor Buddy, I've got to get out of here. My time is almost coming gone. But not before I tell you that you can write me tonight. If you'd like this series, we just finished 20 and 12. Very exciting series of what we see as the coming episodes in the years to come. We are going through a transformation. We're coming into a new age. This is the outpouring, ladies and gentlemen, whether it be good or bad, when the forces of light and darkness will eventually clash for the climactic entrance of the great deceiver who will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and will deceive the very elect. Because the Christian scenarios and the false prophets and Judaism, which has their book, the Talmud. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that Jews love Christians and Christians love Jews, you ought to read the Talmud. This is their, actually, their guidebook. It's the It's the one that the rabbis give you the interpretation of the Old Testament. You'll get an understanding of the rabbis. You'll get an understanding of why Christ called them, what he called them, and told us to beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. All you got to do is read your Bible. All you got to do is face up the truth. All you got to do is be man or woman and acknowledge Yahweh as your Savior. Repent of your sins and be baptized in the only name, not a name of a Greek god, not a name of a strange god, but the name that can be read 7,000 times. We challenge any minister under the sound of our voice to bring the Hebrew Bible, not the Jew Bible, but the Hebrew Bible, the Bible that was written not for the Jew, but for the Israelites. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a difference. You must know the truth, and when you do, the truth will make you free. You can write me tonight. Simply address your letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, that's a Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight. I would enjoy your call. Just call me at area code 423-626-2172. Also, I'd like to announce that you can hear Pastor Buddy and my good brother, Brother Randall, out of Covert, Michigan, on Friday nights on WWRB 3.185 on your radio dial. So we invite you to tune in to myself and Brother Randall as we spend a whole hour discussing these issues that are very pertinent and timely for the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, it's no secret that we're in the last days. But did you know that one day is with our Creator 1,000 years? So let's don't get terminal here. Let's believe that the prophetic timeline is quite different than our carnal mind can assimilate into proper interpretation. So then, let's begin to think in terms of a time of trouble. That trouble could go on for many, many years. I don't know how long, but I do know one thing, that the time of trouble is near and very near upon us, and that Satan and his angels, along with the beast, oh my, I don't want to get into the beast. I could preach in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. I could preach for 10 hours, and I did, in the scarlet robes. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get that series and to listen to me preach about the beast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there was the dragon. Oh, the dragon now is a little people that's speaking with a lot of power. He that's got the money has got the power. Care not who makes the laws as long as I have the finances. The dragon spoke, and when the dragon speaks, governments around the world trembles because of the powerful lobby that money, the god of this earth, money, the love of it, will deceive the very elect. So you can hear Pastor Buddy and Brother Randall on WWRB 3.185 at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Friday night on WWRB. I'll be back next Sunday night on WWCR around the world with a transmitting Jewel of the South and Pastor Buddy. Here tonight, I've got to get out of here, and here's your little song as I close out. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR.
Boy sitting alone, I got no internet, no telephone. Well, I'm a hermit by choice. what you see. In Babylon, it don't bother me, no. I've become the minority. Come out the people, what I hear. Come out the people, causing judgments before you. It's falling, there's believing. Angels calling, better heed it. There's a judgment just around the bend. It's just the start, but others call it the end. Well, Jacob and Israel is time to choose. And Babylon, these are white boy blues. Oh, yeah.
White boy blues.
It's falling, it's believing. Angels calling, better heed it. Just lay low. Well, just a mix for the white boy to know.